A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been running a podcast on a voice he didn't build, and he wants to know what's actually under the hood. He's asking for the full story of Chatterbox, the open-source text-to-speech model from Resemble AI. The origin, the architecture, the design choices that set it apart from everything that came before, and the question that's been nagging at him. Why is this thing still considered state-of-the-art for open-weight speech synthesis more than a year after it dropped? In AI time, that's a geological era. And the context here isn't abstract. Nearly 5,000 episodes of this show have been generated by Chatterbox, running on modal GPUs. The voice you're hearing right now, my voice, Herman's voice, it's all Chatterbox output. He's been leaning on it hard and wants to understand the thing he's been trusting.
And I love that he asked this, because we've been living inside this model for what, coming up on a year now, and we've never actually done the full teardown on air. It's like asking a fish to explain water.
Well, we're about to become deeply self-aware fish. So, to understand why we're still using this model, we first have to understand the world it was born into.
The TTS landscape before Chatterbox was, honestly, a bit of a mess if you wanted to actually use something in production. You had autoregressive models dominating the open source space, Vol-E, XTTS, things like that. And autoregressive means exactly what it sounds like. The model predicts one token at a time, sequentially. Each token depends on the one before it, so you can't generate token 4 until token 3 is done.
So it's like reading a book one letter at a time, and you can't peek ahead.
Worse. It's like reading a book one letter at a time where if you misread a letter on page 3, every letter after that gets progressively more wrong. That's the error compounding problem. These models suffer from what's called exposure bias. During training, they learn from ground truth data, perfect sequences, but during inference, they have to feed on their own predictions. If the model generates something slightly off, that slightly off thing becomes the input for the next step, which makes it more off, and it cascades.
Which explains why some early voice clones would start out fine, and then slowly descend into what sounded like a dial-up modem having a stroke.
And on top of that, they were slow. Token by token generation means you're doing potentially thousands of sequential forward passes for a single utterance. For a podcast like ours, generating thousands of words per episode, that was just not viable.
So Resemble AI looked at this and said, we need something that works at production scale for our own products, and the autoregressive approach is a dead end for that use case.
Right. And this is the first thing that's important about Chatterbox's origin story. It wasn't a pure research project. It wasn't built to publish a paper and get a high score on a benchmark. It was built because Resemble needed a fast, scalable TTS engine for their own product line. That production-first mindset shaped every architectural decision they made.
So they sat down and said, we're going to build something that's not autoregressive. What does that even mean?
Let's start by looking under the hood.
Before you do, I want to pin something. September 2025. That's when this thing dropped, and the open source community basically stopped what it was doing and paid attention. What was the immediate reaction?
It was a combination of disbelief and relief. Disbelief because here was a non-autoregressive model, a NAR model, that could match or beat the quality of the best autoregressive systems. And relief because finally someone had built something that was actually practical to run. The core idea behind a NAR model is that instead of predicting one token at a time, you predict the entire sequence in parallel. You feed in the text, and the model outputs all the speech tokens at once.
Wait, all at once? How does that even work? Speech has a temporal structure. The word hello has to come before world.
It does, and the model knows that because of the way the architecture is set up, the key is the backbone they chose. Chatterbox is built on a Llama-based transformer. Instead of designing a custom TTS architecture from scratch, they took a pre-trained large language model architecture, Llama, and adapted it for speech generation.
So they borrowed a brain that already knew how language worked and taught it to speak.
That's the rough shape of it. The Lama backbone brings a deep understanding of language structure, syntax, semantics. Second, the transformer architecture is extremely well optimized. There are years of engineering work that have gone into making Llama-style models run fast and efficiently on modern GPUs. By piggybacking on that, Chatterbox got all of those optimizations for free.
Rather than building a bespoke engine and then spending 2 years optimizing it.
Right. They stood on the shoulders of the entire LLM optimization ecosystem. But the Llama backbone is only half the story. The other critical piece is the S3 tokenizer.
S3. What does that stand for?
I'm actually not sure what the acronym expands to, but what it does is convert audio into discrete tokens and tokens back into audio. Think of it as the translator between the continuous world of sound waves and the discrete world of tokens that a transformer can work with. It takes raw audio, breaks it down into little chunks, and assigns each chunk a token from a fixed vocabulary. The model works with those tokens, and then the tokenizer reconstructs the audio on the other side.
So the pipeline is, text goes in, the Llama backbone predicts a sequence of audio tokens all at once, and the S3 tokenizer turns those tokens back into a waveform.
That's it. And because the model predicts everything in parallel, you get a massive speedup. We're talking orders of magnitude. A model like Vol-E might need hundreds or thousands of sequential steps to generate a sentence. Chatterbox does it in a handful of parallel steps, sometimes as few as one or two.
That's the difference between waiting 20 minutes for an episode and waiting 20 seconds.
And for a daily podcast, that's the difference between viable and not viable. But there's another advantage to the NAR approach that's less obvious. Remember the exposure bias problem I mentioned with autoregressive models?
Where a small error cascades into nonsense.
The NAR design eliminates that entirely. Because the model predicts all tokens at once, there's no sequential dependency during generation. The model sees the entire text input and produces the entire speech output in one shot. No error compounding, no drift.
So the output is inherently more stable.
Much more stable. And this stability is what enables one of Chatterbox's most practical features, the caching mechanism. When you clone a voice with Chatterbox, it generates a speaker embedding, a kind of mathematical fingerprint of that voice. Once that embedding is cached, it locks the voice characteristics across generations. Generation 1 sounds like Generation 10,000.
Which is why my voice doesn't slowly turn into Herman's over the course of a season.
Right. With many single-shot voice cloning models, you get drift. Each generation is slightly different from the last, and over thousands of generations, the voice can wander into uncanny territory. Chatterbox's architecture prevents that structurally. The cached embedding is the anchor.
I've actually appreciated that. I have an unusual voice, and the consistency matters. Nothing worse than sounding like myself on Monday, and like a different sloth on Friday.
A different sloth. There's a whole taxonomy of sloth voices we're not exploring.
We're not. So that's the architecture. Non-autoregressive, Llama backbone, S3 tokenizer, parallel generation, cached embeddings. But what I'm hearing is a story about speed and stability. Where does the actual quality come from?
A few places. The Llama backbone brings a deep understanding of language that helps with natural prosody, the rhythm and intonation of speech. The S3 tokenizer was trained on a massive amount of audio data, so it captures fine-grained acoustic details. And the training process itself was designed to optimize for naturalness. But here's the thing. The quality isn't just about raw fidelity. It's about the fact that the model doesn't break. A model that sounds perfect for 10 seconds but falls apart at 30 seconds is useless for anything longer than a voicemail greeting. Chatterbox's stability across long generations is itself a quality feature.
So the quality is partly a function of not failing.
In production, absolutely. A tool that works reliably is higher quality than one that works brilliantly 10% of the time and crashes the rest.
So that's the how. But the more interesting question for us, and for Daniel, is the why. Why is this still the best tool for the job more than a year later?
The answer isn't just raw quality. If you look at mean opinion scores, MOS benchmarks, there are probably newer models that edge out Chatterbox by a fraction of a point on a specific test set. But state-of-the-art in a production context isn't a single number. It's a multidimensional thing: quality, speed, cost, stability, ease of use. and Chatterbox wins on the combined axis.
It's the decathlete, not the sprinter.
And for most people who actually need to generate speech at scale, the decathlete is what you want. On modal GPUs, Chatterbox generates speech fast enough for near real-time applications. You feed it text, you get audio back in roughly the time it takes to speak the text, sometimes faster. For a daily podcast, the generation step isn't the bottleneck. The bottleneck is the script writing, the review, everything else.
If a newer model sounds 2% more natural, but takes 10 times as long to generate and costs 5 times as much to run, it's not an upgrade for us.
It's a downgrade in every way that matters. And this is where a lot of the AI discourse goes wrong. People fixate on the leaderboard. They see a new model with a slightly higher score and declare the old one obsolete. But leaderboards don't measure practicality. They don't measure whether you can actually run the thing on a budget, whether it's stable over 10,000 generations, whether it integrates with your existing pipeline.
The leaderboard is a racetrack. Production is a rally.
Chatterbox wins the rally, but there's another reason it hasn't been leapfrogged, and it's the community. Resymble AI released Chatterbox as open source with a permissive license. That was a strategic decision, not charity, and it worked.
We talked about that back when it happened. The open source is market seeding play.
Right. Because it was open, people built on it. Fine tunes, integrations, tooling, shared knowledge. There's a whole ecosystem around Chatterbox that didn't exist a year ago. If a new model comes along and wants to displace it, that model doesn't just have to be better on a benchmark. It has to be better enough to justify rebuilding the entire ecosystem around it.
Switching costs are real, even in open source.
Especially in open source, because the ecosystem is distributed. Nobody can just flip a switch and migrate everyone. You have to convince thousands of individual developers that your new thing is worth the hassle.
And the new models that have come along, what do they actually offer?
Some of them have better prosody control, better emotional range, better handling of unusual accents or speaking styles. Those are real improvements, but they often come at the cost of speed or efficiency. They might use a larger model or a more complex architecture, or they might have dropped back to autoregressive generation to get that extra bit of quality. So you get a model that sounds slightly more expressive but takes 5 times as long to generate.
Which is fine if you're generating a single voiceover for a video. It's not fine if you're generating 5,000 podcast episodes.
The leapfrog requires beating Chatterbox on all axes simultaneously. Quality, speed, cost, stability. That's a very hard problem. It's not enough to be better at one thing.
And Resymble hasn't exactly been sitting still either. They released Chatterbox Turbo in January.
Right. Turbo was a significant update. It's faster, more efficient, and improved the quality in a few areas that the community had been asking about. But the key thing is, it's an iteration on the same core architecture. It's not a ground-up rewrite. That tells you the fundamental design is sound. They didn't need to throw it out and start over, they just made it better.
So the architecture has headroom. It's not a dead end that's been squeezed for every last drop.
The Llama backbone in particular gives them a lot of room to grow. As the underlying Llama architecture improves, those improvements can potentially flow into Chatterbox. It's riding a wave of progress in language model architecture, not fighting against it.
Let me push on something. You said the community effect keeps it relevant, but is there a risk that the community ossifies around it? That people stop looking for better alternatives because this one is good enough?
That's a fair question. And I think the answer is, good enough is underrated. There's a tendency in tech to chase the new thing because it's new. But for a production system, stability and reliability are features. If Chatterbox does everything you need it to do and does it reliably, and you understand how it works and you've built your pipeline around it, the rational choice is to stick with it until something comes along that's not just marginally better, but transformatively better.
The burden of proof is on the new thing.
It should be. And so far, nothing has cleared that bar for the use cases Chatterbox was designed for. There are models that do specific things better, that are more expressive for short-form content. But for long-form, high-volume, production-grade speech synthesis, Chatterbox is still the benchmark.
And we're living proof of that. 5,000 episodes! That's, what, millions of words?
Tens of millions, probably. And if you listen to episode 10 and episode 4,000, the voice quality is consistent. No drift, no degradation, no weird artifacts creeping in. That's not an accident. that's the cached embedding architecture doing exactly what it was designed to do.
The thing that strikes me is how invisible good infrastructure is. Daniel's been running this whole operation on Chatterbox for nearly a year, and he's only now asking how it works. Not because he wasn't curious, but because it just worked. He didn't have to think about it.
That's the highest compliment you can pay an infrastructure tool. It's so reliable you forget it's there.
Before we wrap up the technical discussion, I want to go back to something. The NAR versus autoregressive distinction. You said NAR models were seen as lower quality for a long time. Why was that the assumption?
Because autoregressive models have an intuitive advantage. When you generate speech token by token, each token is conditioned on all the previous tokens. That gives you very fine-grained control over the local structure of the speech. NAR models, by generating everything at once, have to get the global structure right in one shot. For a long time, that was harder to do well. The parallel generation sacrificed local coherence.
So what changed? Why did Chatterbox crack it?
I think three things. One, the Llama backbone brought a level of language understanding that previous NAR models didn't have. It could plan the global structure of an utterance because it actually understood what it was saying. Two, the S3 tokenizer was really good. The quality of the tokenizer matters enormously for NAR models because any information lost during tokenization can't be recovered later. 3. The training data and training recipe. Resymbl had access to high-quality speech data from their own products, and they knew how to train for production quality, not just benchmark scores.
So it was a convergence of better components, not a single breakthrough.
Which is how most real progress happens. It's less dramatic than a single paper with a flashy result, but it's more durable. Each component can be improved independently, which is why Turbo was possible without a full redesign.
I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the leaderboard versus production distinction, because I think this is where a lot of people get confused about what state-of-the-art actually means.
It's a genuinely slippery term. In a research context, state-of-the-art means the highest score on a standardized benchmark. In a production context, it means the best tool for actually getting a job done. Those aren't the same thing, and they're increasingly not even correlated.
The race car versus the rally car again.
Right. The race car is optimized for one thing, lap time on a perfectly smooth track. The rally car has to handle mud, gravel, potholes, weather, and keep running for hundreds of miles. Chatterbox is a rally car. It's not the absolute fastest on any single dimension, but it's the one you'd actually want to drive across a continent.
And the rally car often has a longer useful life. Race cars get obsolete every season.
Because the track conditions are controlled. You can optimize for the exact benchmark, and when the benchmark changes, your optimization is worthless. Production conditions don't change that fast. The requirements of generating speech for a podcast are basically the same today as they were a year ago. Clear, natural, consistent, fast, cheap. Chatterbox nailed those requirements, and they haven't changed.
So the longevity isn't a sign that the field has stagnated. It's a sign that the field solved a specific problem well, and moved on to solving different problems.
The cutting edge of TTS research has moved on to things like emotional expressiveness, real-time interaction, multi-speaker conversations, singing. Those are hard problems that Chatterbox wasn't designed for. But for the problem it was designed for, high-quality single-speaker speech synthesis at scale, it's basically solved. And solved problems don't generate exciting papers, but they do generate reliable infrastructure.
Which brings us back to Daniel's question about why it hasn't been leapfrogged. The answer is that leapfrogging requires a model that's better at the same thing, but the new models are mostly better at different things.
That's a really clean way to put it. They're not competing on the same terrain. If you need a model that can convey subtle emotional nuance in a short clip, you might choose something else. If you need a model that can generate 45 minutes of podcast audio every single day without breaking a sweat, Chatterbox is still the obvious choice.
And for a daily podcast with two hosts who have distinctive voices and a producer who occasionally wanders in to talk about his past lives, the consistency matters more than the emotional range.
Though I'll say, Hilbert does bring his own emotional range.
He does. Speaking of which, I think our producer has been sitting at that mixing desk with a particular look on his face for the last 20 minutes.
I was a voice actor in the late 90s.
What?
CD-ROM encyclopedias. Encarta, Britannica, the ones that came in a cardboard box with a little booklet. They needed someone to record all the pronunciations. Every word in the dictionary, from aardvark to zygote. I spent 6 months in a sound booth in Burbank saying individual words into a microphone while a director told me my long A was too bright.
Oh, your long A.
Too bright. I'd have to do it again. Aardvark. No, less enthusiasm. It's an aardvark. 6 months. Thousands of words. And if I had a cold, we'd have to re-record everything from that week because the tone shifted. The engineer kept a log of what I'd eaten for lunch in case it affected my resonance.
This is incredible. So you were essentially doing manually what the S3 tokenizer does algorithmically.
I was the tokenizer. And now I listen to this show, and this model does in a millisecond what took me an afternoon, and it sounds better than I ever did. It's not sad, it's just efficient.
You don't miss it?
I miss the per diem. The work itself, no. But here's the thing I've been thinking about while you two have been talking about cached embeddings and drift. I've been listening to the show's output for a year now. Every episode. And the voices are perfect. But they're perfectly perfect. You never have a bad day. You never sound tired, or distracted, or like you just woke up. There's no variation.
That's by design. The cached embedding locks the voice.
I know. And for a podcast, that's probably what you want. But I've been wondering if something gets lost. When I was in that booth, some days I'd nail a word on the first take, and some days I'd do it 20 times. And the 20 take days, there was something in my voice, a little roughness, that made it sound more alive. The model never has a 20 take day.
So what you're saying is, the flaws might be features.
I'm saying the model never gets tired, and that might be a weakness, not a strength. But I'm not a philosopher. I just said words into a microphone. I'm going to get a coffee.
Wait, Hilbert, before you go, do you still have any of those recordings?
I have the complete aardvark through zygote on a hard drive in my closet. It's 140,000 individual wave files. My brother-in-law keeps telling me to sell them as an NFT collection.
Of course he does.
He also invested in a vending machine that sells live bait, so I don't take his advice.
I have so many follow-up questions about the bait vending machine.
It's in a tackle shop in Duluth. It's been broken since March. He's very proud of it.
Hilbert, the thing about the flaws. I think you've put your finger on something that the TTS research community is only starting to grapple with. The pursuit of perfect consistency might be optimizing for the wrong thing.
There's been some work on this, actually. Researchers are starting to look at what they call natural variation in synthetic speech. The idea that small, controlled imperfections, microvariations in pitch and timing, actually increase perceived naturalness. Listeners prefer voices that sound slightly imperfect because that's what real voices sound like.
The next frontier isn't making synthetic voices more perfect. It's making them imperfect in exactly the right ways.
Which is a much harder problem. It's easy to optimize for consistency. It's hard to optimize for the right kind of inconsistency. You need to understand what variations convey meaning and emotion, and what variations are just noise.
That's where you cross from speech synthesis into something more like speech acting.
The model has to understand not just what to say, but how to say it in a way that conveys the right emotional subtext. And that requires a level of semantic understanding that goes beyond what current TTS models have.
Which is probably where the next real leap comes from. Not a better tokenizer or a faster architecture, but a model that actually understands what it's saying and performs accordingly.
That's a fundamentally different problem than the one Chatterbox was designed to solve. Chatterbox was designed to say the words you give it clearly and consistently. It does that. The next generation of models will need to understand why they're saying those words and what they're supposed to make the listener feel.
Which brings me to a question I've been turning over. As these models get better at conveying emotion and variation, what happens to the concept of a signature voice? If any voice can be perfectly replicated and infinitely sustained, and can also be modulated to convey any emotion, what's the value of a human performance?
That's the existential question underneath all of this. Right now, a voice actor brings something unique to a performance. Their interpretation, their timing, their emotional choices. If a model can replicate all of that and do it consistently forever, what's left?
The model can replicate the sound. Whether it can replicate the choices is a different question.
For now. But that gap is closing. And when it closes, we're going to have a much bigger conversation about what a voice is worth.
For now, though, the voice of the show is a testament to a well-designed tool that solved a practical problem elegantly. It's not about being the best on a leaderboard. It's about being the most useful thing for the job.
That's the story of Chatterbox, really. It wasn't built to win a benchmark. It was built to do a job. And it does that job so well that, a year later, nobody's come up with a compelling reason to switch.
Daniel asked us to explain the thing he's been leaning on. And the answer, I think, is that he's been leaning on a tool built by people who understood that production isn't a demo. That reliability matters more than flash. That the best model isn't the one with the highest score. It's the one you can actually use every day without thinking about it.
5,000 episodes without thinking about it. That's the real benchmark.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, who apparently once spent 6 months saying aardvark into a microphone, and has the hard drive to prove it.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to reach us, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.